in 2 Peter 1, verses 20. In verse 20, he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. One man's idea.
Right.
God didn't fix it that way.
Amen.
God didn't fix it so it would be one man's idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He fixed it so a group of men would have to speak on the same thing, and you know what? They don't conflict.
My Lord.
If there's any conflict, it's in our inability to rightly divide and be left.
That's right.
They don't conflict. God is the God of order.
Amen.
Not chaos.
Amen.
No man has the right to change. It's inspired. The Scriptures are breathed on by God. Men spoke as God motivated them.
Amen.
Verse 21, he says, for the prophets came not in old times or at any time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So when you read, you're reading God's word. And you ought to respect it.
Amen.
And stop wadding down the book.
Amen.
And you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I believe that God is in all his infinite wisdom. He got old King James Version for some reason. It's the Bible of the common man.
Amen.
And I'm so glad he fixed it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Or there are the translations, you know. But I tell you what. The King James Version will give you the plan of salvation.
Amen.
Don't give you that. You follow it, you won't go wrong.
Man.
You won't go wrong. You won't. If so, why don't we throw it out to the market? Why would man get rid of it if it's no good?
Mm-hmm.
You know what he keeps doing? He keeps lighting it up.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't bother with it. The Jews were the keeper of God's word. They said the Scriptures are authentic.
That's right.
They were the keepers of the word. I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
They said it's okay. Said the 66 books all right. The Holy Scriptures of the Bible were given to man by God, and as I said before, they were for his prophet.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit, speaking through Paul, puts it this way in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable.
Mm-hmm.
It's profitable for doctrine,
mm-hmm.
for reproof.
Yes.
For correction.
Mm-hmm.
For instruction in righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
What is it all that for, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 17, he says, tells us, that the man of God may be perfect,
mm-hmm.
thoroughly furnished unto all good work, or prepared to all good work.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, if the book will make a man perfect relative to his obedience to God, then why do we need special revelation? Now, either the Scriptures will make you perfect or they won't.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Relative to your obedience to God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Then why do we need some special revelation? Scriptures are sufficient.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Not in the Scriptures, in man.
Amen.
Man, instead of trying to be like God, he wants to be a God.
Amen. Amen.
I say, instead of wanting to be like God, he wants to be a God.
Yeah.
And God will cut you down every time.
That's right.
You won't make it.
That's right.
You won't make it.
Man.
And before the night's over, I'll show you what God will do.
Amen.
God will do it.
That's right.
God is an intelligent. He has power beyond, it's beyond mere man's understanding.
Amen.
And you know what? All you have to do is go to the book. You don't have to reach for no miracle.
That's right.
You don't have to reach for no special revelation. Amen. The Scripture will make you complete when it comes to doing what God wants you to do.
Amen.
We know that makes sense.
That's right.
We know that makes sense. You know why God's word makes sense?
Amen.
It's simple.
Amen.
Man always wants something fantastic. Something that's beyond comprehension, so it'll make him look intelligent.
That's right.
No.
Well, it just doesn't look like it is.
Amen.
It's simple.
Yeah.
That's right.
One of the reasons why a man doesn't really proper as he should have taught as he should from the book is because he does not do what the book tells him to do. 2 Timothy 2:15.
That's right.
Timothy said, do something. The Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. This is what it said. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. You want to be approved unto God? Study.
Amen.
And then he says, a workman that needed not to be ashamed.
That's right.
You know what? When you study like you should, you won't be ashamed.
Amen.
You won't be ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
You can work for God, do His will, and you don't mind giving a man an answer for the reason of the hope that's within you.
Amen.
Why? You know you're right.
Amen.
The truth can't, you can't fight the truth.
Amen.
You think you can? We'll see tonight. You cannot fight the truth.
It's all right.
Jesus said the truth will make you free.
Yes, He did.
I believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, you can't tell me that out of 500 or 600 different denominations, people are free. They can't be. All of them don't have the truth. We don't even have the truth here.
My
and I say we, I say one of us don't.
That's
all
right.
It's all right. It's all right.
One of us don't.
Yes. Amen.
We have some truth.
That's all right. God won't accept it.
Every major denomination has some truth.
That's all right.
God rightly divided truth.
Yeah. It's all right.
Every major denomination has got some.
My Lord.
So they're Catholic all the way down. They've got some basic, rightly divided truth.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can't deceive people.
My Lord. It's all right.
The devil has to make sense.
Yes, amen. Say
well, I don't want some of the truth.
My Lord.
Jesus said the truth will make you free, not part of it.
Right.
And if you take anything from you, you're going to have truth.
My Lord.
Ever.
Amen.
And by the way, let me say something here tonight. I'm not trying to get no response from audience. I'm speaking for God tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
I want to be reverent and respectable. I'm not trying to find out who is right. I'm trying to find out what is right.
Amen.
I believe
right.
in something.
All right.
This man believes in something.
Amen.
We both believe in what we believe in. It takes intelligent men and humble men to come together to reason.
Amen. Amen.
I'll let you know. I don't mind what it's not me, but I'm just saying, I'm not going to please you for no show floor.
No.
I'm not up for no floor. Shorty, if he comes to 1409 East Floor, he'll be treated the same way.
No.
I want the book.
Amen.
The writing and writing book. That's all.
All right.
I want book, chapter, and verse for everything you teach.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Write and book.
Amen.
I'm here by the Spirit of God, man. I'm discussing what I see.
My Lord.
Men and women are dying in their sins.
That's all right.
Preachers
will
let them go right on the hill.
All right.
I realize my time is just about up, but I'll still return. You know, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that is not to be ashamed, but you've got to do something. Write it and bind in the word of truth.
All right.
That's the problem in the religious world.
My Lord.
We all have a little bit of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't got anybody. That's what the problem is. The problem is not insincerity.
Hmm.
I tell you, it doesn't take long to find out whether people are sincere or not. Because when they hear the right and right truth, it makes sense.
That's right.
And it don't take long. Either you'll be sincere or insincere when you leave here tonight. Because you're going to hear something tonight. That's going to make sense.
That's right.
It's going to be sincere.
That's right. Right.
So if you're sincere, you won't be sincere if you don't acknowledge it being scripture and writing advice. And I tell you what, I believe the man will do the same thing.
Because
I think he's sincere in what he's trying to do.
Right.
I really do. I don't think a man would invite someone else. I tell you what, I know lots of so-called Church of Christ wouldn't do it. Yeah, I'll tell you like it is. I know a lot of them wouldn't have you. If you did, you panic and you get arrogant. You got, that's not the Church of Christ at all. That's why I told this man, I don't want to identify with no group. I want to identify with the church that Peter, Paul, and James were members of.
That's all
that's
right.
That's the church I'm a member of.
That's all right.
I know that's the right church.
That's right.
I don't get identified with no local group.
My Lord.
We get cocky and all of it. We got the truth. We got that. We got nothing.
That's right.
When you got the truth, you don't have to get cocky about it.
My Lord.
You don't have to try to run down a man.
Amen.
You can tell him the truth, but you don't have to try to run down his character.
My Lord. It's all right.
Jesus said the truth will make you free. You might be anxious, man. I love
you.
Next speaker will be the International Vice President and Dean of our school, Dr. Robert Harris, from the Institute of Divine and Physical Research.
Now, I, too, am very happy to have this opportunity to stand before you tonight. And I'll say at the outset that I'm not down here to try to win any kind of debate. That's not my purpose for being down here. But I'm here to try to impart some understanding of the reality of Yahweh and His purpose to those who don't know about Him, don't know about Him. And I say also that I'm familiar with every passage in the Bible that you could present in reference to your proving that water baptism is valid in this age and that we are supposed to engage in water baptism. I'm familiar with that. And my argumentation is not with what is written in the book. Understand? I want you to know that. I don't disagree with that at all. But what I do disagree with is our comprehension and understanding of what is written in the book. And I, too, believe in leaving it just like it says in the book, not adding to it or subtracting from it. Now then, I think that I should explain my understanding of the word baptism. My understanding is this, that baptism is a cleansing or washing accomplished by an immersion or dipping or plunging in something, not necessarily water. Now, if it wasn't that way, then wouldn't be no such thing as a baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can be baptized in almost anything. You see? Whenever you are immersed in anything, that is a form of baptism. And another thing that there is great difference of opinion with, and that is, what the term baptism in the name means. Now here is where we do not add to or subtract from. You see? When one says baptism or baptized in the name, as they interpret it out there in the world, they substitute W-A-T-E-R or N-A-M-E. Now that's adding to. It did not say baptized in the water. It said baptized in the name. Now the reason why they run and get water is because they don't understand what baptizing in the name means. And they do not know how it is accomplished. Now I'm going to explain it to you. Now firstly, you have to have a name. Be baptized in the name. See? Now anybody can find this out anytime you get ready. And I agree with Reverend White.
Now call me Lee.
Lee?
Yeah, call me Lee.
Lee.
Yeah.
I agree with Lee. You see? Now some of us are just too lazy to do any research on our own. Understand? That's what we call this, the Institute of Divine Metaphysical Research Incorporated. You see? We believe in searching into the Bible to see what the reality is. Now, if you were to do a little research, you would find out that God is not a name.
Right.
That's so easy. There are all kinds of God, even in mythology. Greek and Roman mythology, each one of those mythological gods has a name. God is a title, not a name. And also, Lord is a title and not a name. Just like president is a title. So when you say president, you've got to define who you're talking about. Are you talking about Kennedy? Are you talking about Johnson? Are you talking about Nixon? You understand? Now then, the one that came to be the Savior of the world, he said this, I
am come in my Father's name. Now, let me explain to you what he's saying. Now, my name is Robert Harris. Even before I was born out of the womb, it was a foregone conclusion that I would be a Harris. You understand? That was my surname. See? And then Robert was my given name. Is that correct? Now then, if the Messiah said he is come in his Father's name, likewise, he must have some portion of his Father's name, just as I have some portion of my Father's name. Now, either make it that way or make him out of a lie. Because he said, I am come in my Father's name. Now, if you call the Savior of the world Jesus Christ and call his Father God our Lord, you made him out of a lie, because there is no similarity between Jesus Christ and Lord our God. But when you use those correct names, the name of the Savior is Yahshua. See? And that word means Yah is salvation. Understand? And it gives the explanation of what you find over there in Matthew 1:21, I believe it is. See? And he shall be called Yahshua, not Jesus, for he shall save, you see, his people from their sins. His name tells you what he came to do. Now, the name of the Father is Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H. Now, that name, Yahweh, comes from the Tetragrammaton, Y-H-W-H. Now, those are four consonants. And that name, that was unpronounceable. And you had to add vowels to it in order to be able to pronounce it. You see? Now, we don't have a five vowels, is that right? A-E-I-O-U. You see? Now, Yahweh, see, he is the source and the substance of everything. He is masculine and feminine, potentially right within himself. You understand? Male and female. And being like that, he had no need for anything outside of him, because there is no outside of him, in order for him to bring forth, because he is both masculine and feminine right within himself. You see? Now, that was shown physically, you see, by Adam, the first man. When he was born, see, Eve was right in him. And Adam was both masculine and feminine. Do you see that? You see? Now, Adam is spelled A-B-A-M. Is that right? You only have one vowel in that. So vowel A. And Eve is spelled E-D-E. Only one vowel in that word. E. Now, if you take the A from Adam and put it in the masculine portion of the tetragrammaton, see, that makes that Yah, Y-A-H. And if you insert the E from E into the feminine portion of the tetragrammaton, that makes that Way, you see? And that makes his full name Yahweh. Now, it makes sense when he says, I am coming my Father's name. If you see the Father's name is Yahweh, see? Then when the son comes in, his name is Yahshua. Can't you see he's coming in Father's name? Understand? That makes some sense. Okay? Now, I'll tell you the truth about it, you see. Even the Jews themselves substituted that name. Because every time they did something wrong, Yahweh would show out of them. Understand? And punish them. So they got to the place where they reverenced that name so much they were afraid to use it. And they first substituted Adonai, which means Lord. And then later on, Baal, B-A-A-L, and Baal means Lord. You understand? That come on down, see? So the Jews were first responsible. Then the Gentiles come along with their substitutions of Jesus Christ and God. Now, it's just been a few hundred years ago that the word God was even in our vocabulary. You see? And at first, it wasn't spelled G-O-D, it was spelled G-O-T-T. And G-A-W-Z. You understand? Now, the world has come around to the place where they are recognizing that these are the true names. The New Jerusalem Bible, after we put our book out in 1961 and went all over the world, we forced them to come to the realization that those were the correct names. And the Jerusalem Bible came out in 1966, and it had Yahweh in it. You understand? And then later on, you see, the Catholic Bible,
faith, all of them are using the correct name. And Jehovah's Witnesses admit that the name is Yahweh. You understand? But they go right on, you get disobedient and use Jehovah. And the authorities tell you that Jehovah is an impossible rendering, you see, for the Tetragrammaton. The reason being is that there were no J in the original Hebrew alphabet, and isn't until this day. And J was not introduced into the English vocabulary until the Middle Ages, somewhere between the 14th and 17th century. So I'm telling you right now that Paul and all those who were contemporary with the Yahshua Messiah, they did not call him Jesus. If you were to wake one of them up tonight and ask him about his Savior, he wouldn't know what he was talking about. He said Jesus. You see, let alone Christ. That comes from Krishna. Jesus comes from Jesus, and Christ comes from Krishna, a Hindu idol. And when you call the Savior of the world such names as those, you are profaning him. Just like you calling one another a bad name, you know how you react to that type of thing. Now I'm going to use the name up here. Now you can look across the board and find out what I'm talking about. Every time I say Lord, Yahweh, I'm talking about what you call Lord. And when I use the name Elohim, I'm talking about what you call God. You see? And when I use the name Yahshua Messiah, I'm talking about what you call Jesus Christ. Now, then, I got a couple other things to say, and I'm going to get on in. Let's finish some that here. See? Here it is, Dr. Short. Folks, another thing that we have to tell you is because we're just ignorant of almost everything that there is to be known. We don't have hardly anything straight. This is not the Word of God. It is not. And your Bible says that it isn't. Because it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How can this be the Word? It was the Word that brought the creation into existence and made all things. So forget it. This is not the Word of God. See? And even the book, it tells you, see, that God spake all these words, W-O-R-D-S, to Moses saying. When God spoke all these words, the Isaiah saying. These are words, you see. Now, while I'm on this, this book also, from beginning to end, you see, is divinely inspired. What do you mean by that? Yahweh just lifted a man up and gave him a vision and a revelation. You see, it begins with Moses' vision, you see, out here in Mount Sinai, and it ends with John's vision on the Isle of Patmos. You see? Now, I said the men were inspired. They were lifted up. They had a vision and a revelation. Now, you are not going to come along and take this book, you understand, without any revelation from Yahweh, no vision, and understand what is written between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:21. You can't do it. That's where we got all these sex cults, creeds, and denominations. People are going to write out this book with their finger right on the word in the book, and then they have 1,001 different denominations out here. Everybody can read. You see, we're not arguing about this. This is not a Bible quote scripture reading context. You understand what I'm talking about? You see? Now, what you're going to have to do to be able to understand anything, and I do say anything, in this book here is to be raised up into that realm where those men that wrote that book, you see, were when they saw and heard what they saw and heard. You see, in other words, you're going to have a vision and revelation too. A man that was head of the school here, Dr. H.C. Kennedy, was in the Church of God for 15 years. And as he had the divine vision and revelation, he said he just couldn't believe, you see, that he had overlooked, you see, the thing and misconstrued what he read in his Bible. He said he went back to it and it just read like a different book. You understand? You see? Now, let me go on with this. Now, before I can tell you anything about this, see, there's one thing that we have to do for it. See, what we do, they want to run over here to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You see, and Paul in the epistles and the Acts of the Apostles and start reading there about anything that they want to understand. That won't do.
That's right.
But the Messiah walk around on the earth, you see, and they come to ask him, why are you doing this? Why are you doing the John 5:39? See, I'm quoting. He said, he searched the scriptures.
For in them he thinks he have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Now he wasn't talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because he didn't have those books at that time, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those boys were walking around with these Matthew and John. Mark and Luke, they are not eyewitnesses or apostles. You understand? So they had even drawn a pen across a papyrus at that time. So what he had to refer to when he told them to search the scriptures was the books that you have, you see, from Genesis through Malachi.
Right.
You see? Now that is what is known in the divine etymological sense of the word scripture. That is what is known as scripture. That's the root of it. And it's comprised of two parts, the law and the prophecy, or the law and the testimony. You see? Now you've got to go back there to get your foundation for anything that you want to talk about. Now if you don't do that, you're wrong right from the word go. You see? Now number seven. Look. That same spirit that said that, you see, search the scriptures. See, he wouldn't tell him to do that, then he'd go about doing it the way he wanted to.
Right.
So you recall when he was on his way to Emmaus after he'd risen from the dead, he walked along there and he saw two of them, you see, and they were discussing the events of his being crucified before the cross. You see, he said to them this, Luke 24:25, I'll quote again. O fools and slow of heart, who believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Messiah to have suffered this thing and is given to his glory? And beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, he opened up unto them their understanding to be in the scripture. You understand? See? Now the Messiah, or your Savior, he began with Moses and the prophets. Why do we go to Acts of the Apostles? You understand? We can't get any understanding doing that. Now when you go back here, you'll find out. Now I got a rush now, so I'm gonna turn the corner here. You see? You'll find out that Yahweh is dealing with Moses. You see? He revealed himself to Moses out here at the burning bush. That's the Moses that run off out here in the land of Midian after he's slain an Egyptian. You see? And this is where, out here at the burning bush, when Moses is having this vision, that Yahweh first revealed his name to any man.
Until the time of Reformation.
Now then, it says, stood only, O-N-L-Y, in meat and drink, and died of fortune, and carnal ordinance. Now I want you to remember that word, carnal, C-A-R-N-A-L. Here's what that word means. Physical, natural, fleshly, not spiritual. Now this old covenant back here that was made with the children of Israel and the children of Israel only, which included washings of all sorts, baptism. Understand? And feasts. Large supper and what have you. Foot washing and all of that, that's still only in meats and drinks and diamond washings and carnal ordinances imposed upon them until the Reformation. Now what do you mean by until the Reformation? Until the Holy Spirit was poured out on them on the day of Pentecost and they were reformed. Now what was this given for in the first place? You see? It was a schoolmaster to lead them up unto Yahshua Messiah so that they might be justified by faith. In other words, Yahweh is teaching them through physical and natural things so they might come to an understanding of spiritual things. So he gave them water baptism back there as a carnal ordinance so they would be able to understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You understand? Now then, when these people come up out of Egypt, Paul says there in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea unto Moses. Is that right?
Right.
Now the Messiah coming along, he says, well, this thing that he's given to Israel, it stood for about 1,500 years. Those types and shadows and carnal ordinances, it stood for 1,500 years. He's the one that gave them back there. I don't have time to get into that now.
Right.
Then he come along himself to fulfill.
Right.
He went to John. John didn't want to baptize him. He said, summon to be so now, John, because it behooves us to fulfill. Now that word fulfill means to end, to complete, to finish. You understand? So he comes to finish water baptism. You understand? And all the other carnal ordinances. Now he said that to John, one man. See? Then later on he spoke to the multitude, Matthew 5:17.
Yeah.
And he said, think not that I have come to destroy the law and the prophets. I haven't come to destroy them, but to fulfill. And very verily I say unto you, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from it, till all of it be fulfilled. You understand? Now he went around for 3 and 3.5 years fulfilling those physical types and chapters. You understand? I tell you all, 101 different things that he did in fulfillment of these physical and natural things. And when he hung out on the cross, he said, it's finished. Finished doing what? Finished fulfilling the law and the prophets and all those carnal things that were background of the law. Then after he raised from the grave, he stuck to the same tale when he told his disciples there in Luke 24:44, these are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms had to be fulfilled. You understand? Now Christians come out here and saying, no, he didn't come to fulfill. He come to institute, which has an opposite meaning. And that's the reason why they duck you in water, because they said that Jesus instituted water baptism. And that he set an example for us to follow. Jesus said he was fulfilling water baptism, bringing it to an end. You understand? Now that baptism back there was just as calm as it could be, and it was to lead you up onto, see, a spiritual understanding of the real baptism. See? Now then, when you come down to the reality of what the baptism, how do you perform baptism in the name? Messiah even explained that. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, John 7:38, 7:37. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You understand? But this big key of the Holy Spirit, which at that time has not yet been given, because Yahweh Messiah has not yet been glorified. Understand? So when you go out here and preach in the name, you understand? And show how Yahweh set up his purpose from beginning to end and to end. How he instituted, then how he sent his son in and he fulfilled. You see, and you preach it all in his name. You understand? See? Then you are baptizing one in his name. Thank you. Why do we leave it like that?
That's right.
Yeah, why do we leave it like that?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we start substituting?
That's right. It's
the time there. If that's the way he left it, so we couldn't understand it, why do we have to add to it?
That's right.
Then we'll be worried about the name. When we talk about it, the name of anything. I'm talking about the body of authority if we
that's
do what
right.
we do. Mm-hmm. Let me point this out, too. That baptism is not something that you say.
That's right.
Baptism is something that you do.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I'll admit that this is one of the things that we miss the mark on that.
See,
Jesus said, teach, and then baptize.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching is what you say, baptism is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the person is taught properly, then you know you're going to be baptized
right.
Right.
That's right.
You're going to be baptized by the authority of the Godhead.
That's right.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And you'll understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to get into that either. Let's go back to our point. I said tonight, and I hope that we're talking about tonight. It might be, I know I'll be finished the second part. I mean, sorry on the first, just the second part. But I've got enough of the first, and I want to conclude it.
Amen.
To prove without a shadow of a doubt that water baptism is essential unto man's
right.
salvation.
Yeah.
And that's what we came out here for tonight.
That's right.
Okay. The problem is this, writing dividing the word.
Yeah.
Writing dividing the word. The reason why I got to go down, I like to go right on through, I knew it. In this situation, you only have 25 minutes, so you got to follow it and read right on through. I believe in reading. I believe in studying God's Word.
Amen.
I believe there are 3 dispensations of time. I think that's what we hung up to.
Amen.
You see that? There's the patriarchal age.
Mm-hmm.
The age in which God dealt directly with the head of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the Mosaic age, when God dealt with a nation of people.
Right.
And then there's the Christian age, when he's dealing with a universal type people.
Mm-hmm.
Both Jew and Gentile.
Amen.
That's where we make the mistake. We make another mistake is when we take baptism and say it was baptized under the law.
Mm-hmm.
But we do that because we fail to realize that Jesus lived in the law of sin.
That's right.
He was to observe. He lived, I'll repeat that. He lived in the Mosaical dispensation of time.
Right.
He was subject to the law of Moses.
Right.
The Jews were supposed to be baptized.
Right.
That's why he was baptized.
Yeah.
That's not why I was baptized. I was baptized by rotten dirty sins that I committed. And if you be baptized, that's what you would have to be baptized. You would have to say, the first lie you told your mother, you would have to get rid of it to be reconciled to God.
Mm-hmm.
The first act of fornication, you're going to have to get rid of it. God has a plan. God has a plan. That plan is in baptism. Let's move. The right and the right of scripture teach that we should hear or listen to the right teacher. We should listen to the right teacher. But now, who is the right teacher? Matthew 17, the verses 5. God tells us. You call him what you want to. I'm talking about the person that created the heavens and the earth. I'm talking about the man that made me. That's who I'm talking about. You can call him what you want to. To me, he's a God. He's bigger than man. And you can call him what you want to. Figure it out. Anybody can speak into existence. The Son. And the Moon. And the Star. And can take and that man, he's a God to me. He is bigger than man. I don't know where the word came from. That's where I use it. I can't define it as being like me. He's better than me. I'll respect it. I'll respect what he's left for me now. If God is not the word he's supposed to use, well, that's all right. I'm talking about the Creator. Is that all right? I'm talking about the Creator. Now, can you listen to me? Okay, I'm talking about the Creator. The Creator says, to the right and the right of scripture, we should hear the right teacher. Who's the right teacher? Matthew 17, verse 5. Oh, Peter wanted to make three systems of worship, too. One for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for me, Lord. You know what the voice out of the cloud said? He called the voice of the new testament. Voice out of the cloud, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him, and the voice out of the cloud was saying, this is my beloved Son.
Amen.
He said, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.
Amen.
So now we got the right teacher.
Amen.
Jesus is the right man to hear. Not Moses.
Amen.
Not Moses.
Amen.
But come on.
Amen.
Jesus.
Right.
And you said, Joshua?
Right.
The whole, that's the one we're supposed to hear. The Son of God is who I'm talking about. The one that hung on the cross and nailed in his hand. Nailed in his feet. With a pound of thorns right around his head. And pierced in the side for my dirty rotten sin. And your dirty rotten sin. That's the man I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's the man I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about there?
Yeah.
You should know what I'm talking about. Man. I'm talking about that suffering one that died on the cross for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Father said.
Yeah.
You know, the right and right of Scripture reveals that the Son of God prayed for his apostles. Because he's the right teacher. He prayed for his apostles and he prayed for you and I.
Mm-hmm.
In John 17, verses 20.
Mm-hmm.
He says, neither pray I for these alone. Talk about the 12 apostles. You read it for yourself. You think I'm adding something. I don't have to God to pray. I don't say that. I don't understand it. I try to find it somehow. I'm praying. I was studying it. Studying it, the answer. He's talking about the 12 apostles. He said, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's you. Jesus said, I don't pray for these alone, but I pray for them that should believe on me through their word. You read it. John 17, verse 20. Verse 21, he said, that they all may be one. Apostles, you and I should be one in our religious condition.
Mm-hmm.
We should be teaching and practicing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You talk so much about the law. Why are you still over there? Come on, Lord, it's been fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to the apostles. They're the one we're supposed to hear. It's
all right.
And we sit back over there and we talk about we're supposed to hear it. Why don't you hear the apostles? Joshua was the Messiah. That's Christ you're talking about. The man hung on the cross for your sins. He said, I don't pray for them alone, but I pray for all of them that should believe on me through their word.
Amen.
What are you praying for, Jesus? That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they all may be one in us.
Amen.
Why do you want us to be one in you?
Amen.
He tells us. that the world may believe that God has
sent me.
You know why people don't believe in Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
The one who's on the cross for us? Because we're not one.
Yeah.
They say, if this is Christianity, I don't know what it
does.
Well, I got news for you out there who've been thinking like that. What you have seen just ain't Christianity.
Amen.
If you want to see Christianity, you have to go to the Bible.
Amen.
And you might find a few disciples somewhere along the line practicing Christianity. I believe we got something to strive for you on that before. But every time they sin, they do what Jesus said to do to get rid of their sin again. Repent and pray.
Mm-hmm.
Confess, repent and pray, and they get back in fellowship, and they keep on adding to their faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And he said, if these things being you are bound, you shall never be barren or unfruitful, and you shall never fall.
Amen.
The reason why they sin is because they don't set a hand like this.
Amen.
Jesus said there's only one. I want you to know something. The oneness, it comes by believing on Jesus through the words of the apostles.
Amen.
That's how the oneness comes. It comes by believing on Jesus through the words of the apostles.
That's
right. Since we've established that point, let me point out something about the apostles. The writers of the scripture reveal that these men, the apostles, were not to speak words of their own invention.
That's right.
But those that the Holy Spirit of God would teach them.
That's right.
They would be led by the Spirit that you call Yahweh.
That's right.
So they weren't going to speak special revelations. They were going to speak as Yahweh motivated them.
That's right.
You know that's a contradiction when they speak that way.
That's right.
Jesus said this in John 14 and verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16 says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor that he may abide, stay with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because I see him and think it not. Neither know it or appreciate him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. I'm not establishing for him. I want you to follow me. The writer of the scripture teaches that these men weren't to speak words of their own invention. But they were to speak as the Holy Spirit motivated them. They weren't to say a thing until the Holy Spirit came back. John 14, verse 25. These things have I spoken to you, being present with you. Verse 26 to 14, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call him, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And say, all things, you remember what shall I said unto you?
Amen.
Not what Moses has said unto you,
amen,
but what I have said unto you.
That's right.
We talk about scripture. You better look in the New Testament for your scripture.
That's right.
That's the last revelation of God's command.
Amen.
You don't hear the Holy Spirit, you're going to answer some problems.
That's right.
That's why you sidestep baptism, is because you don't want to listen to the words of the apostles.
That's
right. Let me prove that point. When we hear the words of the apostles, we hear the words of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
For he was to teach them all things, to bring all things to their remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
When we hear the Holy Spirit, we hear the word of Jesus.
Amen.
For he was to teach and to bring their remembrance, the Holy Spirit, that is, whatsoever Jesus said or do them. Okay? I'm not twisting. I'm not twisting. You know what I'm twisting now. He said, when we hear the words of Jesus, we hear and please his Father. For the Father, Jesus said, would send the Holy Spirit
in my name.
So, in other words, you got the expression of the Godhead now. I said expression. I didn't say first, second, third, first. I don't teach that. I can't find anybody. I can see three expressions of the Godhead. I can see it in the Old Testament. I can see it in the New Testament. Three expressions of the Godhead. I don't see the different personalities. Because the first person I'll ask you, how do they differ? How do they differ? And there's a danger trying to liken spiritual things with physical things,
that's
too.
Right.
Nicodemus went into that problem.
Mm-hmm.
When he wanted to know, how could I be born in him?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus made it quite clear. He said, that which is spirit is spirit, that which is flesh is flesh.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he's saying it's not the same. There's a similarity, but don't get carried away.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to make God like us. Don't make God like us. The Gentiles follow me. Try to make God like the bird, the beast.
That's right.
Now we try to make him like us. We should try to make him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he made us.
Amen.
And if he's the Spirit, then he's in trouble and doesn't look like this. You tell me God about all of us? Say, God is a spirit. Is he a spirit? No, you can't. I understand what you've been taught. And you responded to your teaching. That's why Jesus said, go teach.
Amen.
I understand that. I'm not trying to get you to
eat.
The writing by the scripture reveals that the Holy Spirit did come as Jesus said he would. In Acts 2 and verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house they were sitting. And there appeared in the smoke and sound like as a fire, and the rest of each of them had to move. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as what the Spirit gave them utterance. They weren't speaking special revelation. They were speaking as the Spirit. I mean, that's the first one, I mean, personally.
Don't get too cocky yet.
And I'm going to prove to you that this was water baptism on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
If not, and God's a liar, everything else is all messed up. So let it go. No. Let's look at the Gentile mission. God so with his word decided to call the Gentiles into this way. In Acts 10, verses 34. Listen to